The scripture reading for the message for this morning is on the back of your bulletin, and it is from the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. This is one of the references that I gave you, so I'm not going to suggest that you skip that when you get to it again. Read it again. Matthew 1, starting with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Actually, the name Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Then verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's from Isaiah the 7th chapter, verse 14. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Emmanuel, Jesus, two names given right there by the angel to Joseph. But the child would also be called the names of Son of God, Son of Man, Christ, Emmanuel with an E, Lord, Master, the Word, Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, literally dozens more names. Listings of at least 50 names that identify Jesus. And some of those are in Old Testament prophecies, such as the Isaiah 7:14 prophecy of the virgin birth of the son whose name was to be Emmanuel that we just read in our scripture. And you know, interestingly enough, that's name number one of five that were given by Isaiah. The additional four came in two chapters later, in chapter 9, in verse 6, where he again prophesied of a child to be born, and he says his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four more names right there added to Jesus and Emmanuel. And, you know, we're just short days away from our annual hallelujah celebration of that child being born. So I'm going to narrow it down and just focus on two of those names that the angel focused on in today's text from Matthew chapter 1. As he spoke with Joseph, the God-assigned father-to-be for Jesus. This was the most used name the Messiah went by as he lived on earth as a very human God-man among us. I can't speak very long without calling the righteous name Jesus. But for just now, I too am going to do some narrowing down and just concentrate on the power in the name that the angel recalled to Joseph from Isaiah, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But first, for just a moment, let me just say a word or two about our fourth Sunday of Advent and the candle, love. You know, this is such a fitting and right theme as the final lead up to the beautiful white candle that is not lit there. It's the center of our Advent preparations for his birth. The Christ candle that is traditionally lit on Christmas Eve as the birth light for the light of the world, Christ Jesus our Lord. Love is the primary focus of the teachings of Jesus. Asked what is the greatest commandment of God, he gave two in one. Love God, love neighbor as much as self. That's in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. And then his new command, given in his last hours to his disciples, well, his disciples for all time, John 13, 34 and 5, 34 and 35. Love each other in the same way as I have loved you. Wow. Do you get how much love that is? We are to love just like Jesus loved. And you can't get any deeper than that in love. Paul truly understands the primacy of love in the eyes of God. His love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, which of course concludes with, there now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so we light the love candle as our great anticipation, our preparation for the Christ candle, for the great anniversary of his birth, Christmas. Now, I'd love to say more, but let me get on with the message of today. I like to quote authorities because people listen to famous or important people. So Shakespeare. Shakespeare was famous for giving special emphasis to names. And it was he who wrote, "What is in a name? That which we call by a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet." He had a point there. Many ambitious parents choose the names for a newborn child with anticipation and with hope that a particular name will result in a rise in greatness as that person becomes an adult. And our Bible is full of persons whose names were significant from birth, and those names in time have proved to be characteristic of who that person became. Certainly the name Jesus, meaning will save his people from their sins, and Emmanuel, meaning God with us, were fulfilled more evidently every day of Jesus' life, from the morning in the manger to his new parents, to the shepherds who had been directed there by the angels, and to the wise men directed there by a special star, all the way to the day of his ascension. The meaning of his name to disciples who marveled at his going heavenward 40 days after his resurrection. And to those of us who believe that Jesus is the only Son of God Almighty, the name Jesus Christ at the center of the Christmas story is life-changing. The twinkling stars in our sky on our Christmas Eve night, the many, many lights on our Christmas trees in our living rooms, and those winter times when it's freezing, the sparkling of the icicles hanging from our roofs, all of those are intended to illuminate this truth of heaven's light, Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, and with great truth, God is with us in so many ways. And let me just name three. He is Emmanuel, God with us, in prosperity. Think about this. The truth is, in every experience, even in times that we're doing great, times of prospering, God with us can be something that we can find as reality. Sometimes the onset of some significant prosperity in our daily lives, or looking happily toward that time in the near future, are times that we can slip into not first thinking of God with us, but you know, And I know he is with us in good prosperity. God knows what happiness is. What being thankful we're going to be well off for some time in the future. That kind of happiness. Look, just look deeply into the eyes of parents or grandparents when the news of a healthy new boy, a healthy new girl, a healthy new baby is announced. God knows about that happiness. He had a son born healthy too. That babe of Bethlehem grew up, as Luke 2:40 describes it. The child grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You love your children. You love all children. They're in your favor, even as God favored his son. He is God with us in the prosperity that we feel as we see our good children. And one of the joys of the Christmas season that we're now all enjoying is the yearly renewal of friendships. Those cards that you are receiving remind you that others, some many, many miles away, are thinking of you. And of course, likewise, the cards you send, let others know that you're thinking of them. Except I might, with care and consideration and compassion, suggest those two-page letters might just overdo it just a little bit. But let me return to the series. God, who is with us, this God knows about this close fellowship with friends. In it, we find real prosperity, the wealth to our lives of personal friends. Jesus, God with us, had those special experiences. His pleasure at the wedding in Cana, John 2:1 through 11. His delight at the supper at the home of his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus, John 10:38 through 42. These were times of the good, of the prosperous, with special friends for Jesus. Possibly the best of the good times for Jesus was as he cemented his friendships with his beloved disciples in the upper room with his Lord's Supper. He treasured these friends. They were of personal wealth and happiness to him. God with us, Emmanuel, knows what the wealth of good friends is for us. But here's something that's a real problem for some people. Very possibly not with you. I hope it's not. Nevertheless, it is a real problem. Emmanuel, God with us, will always, always make a difference. And how can that be a problem? Well, let me put it this way. Unfortunately, with some actions or some thoughts, God is just not always welcome, and too often it is with a person gaining in prosperity that there is either a time of forgetting God and what he represents, or even worse, a rejection of God's principles as that person is gaining in wealth of some sort. Thus, if God is with you always, and he is, Emmanuel, he always has an interest in how you use your time and your influence. God is full of grace and love, but he is very demanding and has little or really has no patience with a person who capitalizes on anything for personal marketplace gain, and that's all. And so to reiterate, God is indeed with us in any prosperity, and that's not to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other side. Emmanuel, God with us in adversity. I find it to be fascinating that the earliest use of the name Emmanuel in the Bible has to do with us, right here, right now. I found this in Isaiah chapter 7. Well, we heard this. But bear with me and listen closely as to how that is so, how that relates to us right now. And this takes a minute or two, so bear with me. In the 8th century B.C., the kings of Syria and Israel, that was the northern kingdom at that time, went up to Jerusalem while Ahaz was king of Judah to go to war with him. But as God saw it, they could not conquer and succeed. However, as soon as Ahaz had heard about the attack, he was petrified. Or as Isaiah wrote it up, he said, "So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees in the forest are shaken by the wind." Chapter 7, verse 2. God then sent Isaiah to Ahaz to quiet his fears and to challenge the king's faith. And he wrote, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Verse 9. And then Isaiah said to Ahaz, verse 11, "Ask the Lord, your God, for a sign." Well, the king, a pious fraud, offhandedly refused to do so. He brazenly said to Isaiah, "I refuse to tempt God by asking for a sign." Isaiah replied very sharply to the king, and let me interject right here, because I know you're wondering what all of this has to do, as I said a moment ago, has to do with us right here, right now. You have wondered about that, haven't you? Well, here it is. Isaiah replied sharply to the king, "Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now you see why I meant it relates to us right now. Emmanuel, God with us in adversity. Of course, God is acutely aware of sorrow. He saw the crowds reject his son, the son of the virgin birth. And the Son, God in human flesh, in his last hours, he needed calm and comfort and acceptance, and his loneliness was at its greatest. And what other father has witnessed the cruel crucifixion of his only son being seen as a criminal whose only fault was to be obedient to God? You see, it's because God has known with such deep sorrow that we count his presence in any sorrow, any adversity of our own, to be a blessing for us, that God knows. God is still with us. God is still with us when friends forsake us. He's with us in the painful loss of a loved one. And we can say with true empathy and sympathy to those of Mayfield and elsewhere of the tornado devastation, your God is with you. He is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is joined often by his people like you. We are to be with them when adversity comes to ones that we know, ones that we may not know, to love and to minister to in his name. Finally, for the third way in which this is appropriate to us now, for the third, God with us, I want to remind you, because you know this as what I have just said about Christmas in many ministries, Emmanuel, God is with us in opportunity. That is, God will always be with us in opportunities. Wants to be if we will just permit it. Think about God's Son, the man Jesus, one day at a well in Samaria. A woman who came there just for water. She was in need, which Jesus detected, and he gave her the water that she needed, but it was not the water from the well. Water that met her real need was water like that of a fountain of eternal life. He Jesus, God, knows what opportunity is. And if we will be open to it and seek it, Emmanuel will be God with us and give us opportunities to serve him in many ways of ministry. Well, how will you know when ministry and service opportunities arise for you? God is Emmanuel, God with us, always. His very presence with us, within us, as the Holy Spirit, will reveal opportunities to us. Often, when we're praying, and I say this because I really experience this often, when you're praying, doors of opportunity occur to you. They're opened for you. Sometimes you may need to make that your prayer. Something like, Lord, help me to know how to do something for this person or this need, how to do it in your name. And if and when you do, pray that the opportunity will clarify your witness, not to glorify you, not to glorify yourself, but to glorify God. And I believe that no opportunity that glorifies God or takes the light of God off what we're doing is a God-given opportunity. Well, just listen to, no, look at that boy or that girl or that young person or that senior adult or that parent. Look at them. When you see a responsibility for you in such opportunities, then you have approached the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. In the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, who is in our own experience God with us, your eyes are opened and you can serve to the glory of God. God, my dear friends of this fine God-led church of Boskydale, has enjoyed the wine of human happiness. He knows well about good prosperity that we have in him. He knows and has tasted personally through his son the dregs of human misfortune. The baby to be born that we celebrate and adore each Christmas, that child to be born that the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to name Emmanuel even centuries before his birth, that same Emmanuel is indeed God with us from our youth to our old age, in the good times and in the bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is one of our several great Christmas gifts from God? That we can count on God to be with us if we walk by faith with him. And so I say, Merry Christmas, or as I sometimes like to say joyfully, Happy Mary and Joseph Christmas. Amen.
Amen. Amen.